Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. Hey, my name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I'm so excited. So many of these people are returning from last year. It was just, to me, one of the finest events that what happened last year in the Colonial Theater, and it was the Jewish Play Project. And I'm happy to be connected with that. I'm happy they asked to come back on the program, and because I found it last year mesmerizing, entertaining, and culturally enlightening. How's that? Pretty good, huh? I wrote all that down, so you know me. I don't remember.
And memorized it very good.
Yeah, I don't remember where the car is. So I'm going to start, ladies first, and we'll start with Katie. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Great. My name is Katie Bierenbaum. Very happy to be here today with all of these people I love. I am not no stranger to the Berkshires. I've definitely made my sort of professional and artistic coming of age here. I started as an acting apprentice at Berkshire Theater Group when I was 19 years old. I got my equity card as an actor at Berkshire Theater Group. And now I'm a director, and I just directed the regional premiere of Mario Coria's N.A. at Barrington Stage. And this is my second summer working with the Jewish Plays Project and co-directing with Alana, and I'm really excited.
Thank you, Katie. Alana.
Hi there. My name's Alana Stein. I'm also a freelance theater director.
Cool.
I've also been with the Jewish Plays Project for 5 years now. Five. And I am the director of artistic programs. So we're thrilled to be back for our second year in the Berkshires. And thanks for having us on.
And I'm thrilled to have you back.
Thank you.
I am thrilled to, and I, you know, these other two gangsters, I know them, but it's nice to have some, pardon the expression, pretty faces. Wayne, how are you, brother?
Bill, I'm doing great. What a treat it was for David and I to meet you last year, and your wife and the young people who you brought to the kids show, and to introduce us to the kind of hospitality that we experienced in the Berkshires. And, you know, I was so taken by your, I mean, we had fun with you on this interview last year to promote the festival. We appreciated it. But, you know, when David and I reflected on high moments from the festival, it was actually reactions from people to the artistic work we were presenting.
Yeah.
And it empowered us and really to feel really privileged to be invited back. We thought for about 20 seconds, should we just do what we did last year? You know, like when you got a good thing, just, but the DNA of the JPP and the people like David Milch, who have been with us on this journey, is that we continue to innovate. We continue to bring new voices and to challenge people to think a little differently about what this moment is now and how art can elevate us all spiritually and humanistically. We know we need it. We need a good laugh. We need a good cry. We need a good kvel, all those things. And that's what we're going to bring you again this year at the festival.
I have to just say this. The people that we bumped into afterwards, and there, most of them were non-Jewish people, but they were so, said what I said. It was just an opening, an exposure in a really positive sense. You know, and I thank you guys for doing, coming back. I really do. I have to just make this count to Katie and Alana. You're both producers. So listen, if you ever need someone that can play a dead body, because I can hold my breath for 3 minutes and I lay down very easily.
Alana might need that for one of the plays.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, there's a little bit of that in these plays along with...
Oh, well, call me. I'll come up and lay down for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Happy to have you, a VIP.
Oh, yeah, please. Those days are long gone, too. Listen, let's hear from what's this guy's name? Jewish playwright project guy. He's now driving to from
No, great.
Philadelphia somewhere.
Yes, I am. I'm David Winitsky. I'm the artistic director and founder of the Jewish Plays Project. And like this right here, like having all these great people together around our work is like what I live for, including the fantastic David Milch, who's been with me on this journey for, I don't know, what are we talking, David?
12
Almost 10
years,
years now?
yes. Wow.
Yeah, so a good long time, a good long time. So I'm so excited to be here and so excited to have David join us again too.
All right, now get back to driving. I'm an old cop. Operative word old. David, it's like we've been friends forever. R really, with you and Wayne. And we just met last year, but when Amy called, I said, Apple, I've been waiting for you to call. What are you talking about? You know, what you bring is hopefully knowledge that'll help change this world a little bit and some of the thinking. Oh, wait, let me rephrase that. There isn't a lot of thinking going on, so just change the world.
We're trying. We are
Yeah.
trying.
We need more
Yeah.
thinking, that's for sure.
Oh, we need more dialogue amongst people, people to people. Just on an aside, I'm writing my third book on managing violent youthful offenders. And the first chapter is listening. Listening, because when I ran the violent youthful offender program, the highest compliment I got from anybody was a real tough kid. And he said, "You know what? You're the first person to really listen to me." So for that, let's move on. So who wants to, Katie, I'll start with you. What's your involvement this year? Because she's a local girl.
Can I just interrupt for 1 second and make
You
sure
can
that
do
we introduce?
anything.
Can we just make sure that we get David to introduce himself here?
The
Yeah.
other David, we
Oh,
have
I'm
two
sorry,
Davids
David.
on.
David, introduce yourself.
That's okay.
We've
I'm
been,
such a
David and I have
shy
been
and
chatting for 10
retiring
minutes,
individual.
so.
I'm such a shy, retiring individual. It's
I
easy to
know.
overlook me, Bill. So it's not a
No,
problem.
it was
What's
we were chatting for about 5 or 10 minutes before anybody.
Exactly. Comparing notes all the way
Yeah,
back to the Vietnam War. Well, just in these introductions, I love Wayne. You know, a Quell moment, and this really already feels like that. And with David Winitsky and the Jewish Plays Project that our family has supported for over a decade, and participating in the first Jewish Plays Project, Berkshire. Jewish Plays Festival last year was extraordinary, and seeing how quickly it's expanded and the ideas. David Winitsky and his team and Wayne Firestone never lack for ideas. I'm a little bit out of the mold here. I'm a physician, and my research and other things became companies, so I became financially successful.
Oh, cool.
And to your point, Bill, about youth and trying to mentor them, our family foundation, we started 20 years ago. We do youth mentoring
Oh,
in the New
cool.
York metropolitan area and in Israel. And we do arts, something we call ARS, ARS, Latin for art, Veritas, the Harvard motto where I was at medical school, truth, arts for social impact. That's the motto. And we've done quite a variety of things. And because it happens that both my parents were Holocaust survivors, some of the themes have to do with anti-Semitism, hate, intolerance. And when Wayne and I started working together, theater is something we believe in greatly, performance, connecting with people emotionally. If there's a core insight or idea that animates me personally in what we do, there are so many challenges in the world today. Your head can explode. You wake up in the morning and you get your feeds from these devices. And you want to put, my father used to say, ostrich mentality, put your head in the ground, make it go away. But the head comes back up again and it hasn't gone away. The problems are there. There's no easy or simple, there's simplistic solutions, but there are no really workable solutions without dialogue, without listening, Bill, as you just said. And arts, we believe in what David and Wayne are all about. And Wayne and I have also connected. It's so interesting. My father also used to say he had many
sayings. Piccolo mondo in Italian means small world. It's always a small world if you make an effort to talk to people. And so Wayne and I and David, the arts are a mechanism, a window, a keyhole, a finger grab to connect people from disparate backgrounds and to communicate a sense of connectedness, empathy, and compassion. And that's what we're here for, supporting JPP and some of the projects we do. So thank you, Bill, for
Thank
inviting
you,
us.
and thank you, David, because David, I did not mean to.
No, it's all
We were
right.
chatting away, and then
I
everybody
know
came
we
out
were
all
only
of a
old friends.
sudden.
We
Yeah, my
exactly, but
whole
no one
screen lit
listened.
up.
Yeah.
I will say this. You're exactly right, and I had one good experience, lifelong experience. I had the opportunity to work in South Africa during the Mandela transition. And I can tell you, that to me changed my whole life. And just leave it at that. Watching people who sat across from each other, who 3 years before hated each other, and now had to work as a team because Mr. Mandela, President Mandela, said we are going to build a South Africa for everyone.
And truth and reconciliation, which he initiated, and the
Yes.
leadership that he exemplified, that's what we need in this world.
Yes, we do. Now we've solved that war problem. Let's move on. Wayne, you've been working with these gangsters and you seem like such a nice guy.
You know, if I had the opportunity every day to sit with Alana and Katie and just
No.
play and watch them turn ideas into productions, that's what I would do. And David gave me the opportunity to do that with the festival last year.
Oh,
We're so
great.
proud of what they did. You want a compelling moment? Listen to Katie and Alana talk about what they've got in store for you this year.
Oh, we're going to get to them. We got about 45 more minutes. So, unless you want to hear Irish songs from a sober Irishman in the end, Alana, how did you get into this career field? That's what my viewers and listeners like to hear, the backstory too.
Great. Like theater in general.
Yeah.
Sure. I started in theater when I was 5 years old,
Oh.
and yeah, I didn't look back. The kind of the story my parents say is that I was very shy and I couldn't look people in the eyes. And so they were like, we'll just try theater out. And I loved it. And also the other part is I was not coordinated. I was not good at sports at all. So this was the option. And then I remember like when I was 6 years old that my teacher gave me the monologue from Louisa the Fantastic. She's 16 coming of age.
Wow.
And everyone else was doing Charlie Brown. And I was like, why didn't I get to do Charlie Brown? And so the compromise is I got to do both. And so I just haven't looked back. I had a teacher at that age 6 that said, if I had worked as hard as you did at 6, I'd have a career the rest of my life. And I think those moments when you have those mentors and those people, those defining moments. And when I was doing like a singing, dancing, and acting camp, and I was in what we call tech. I was looking up at the lights. Like I couldn't stay focused as an
Wow.
actor. So there was always directing in my blood, as we say. I directed my first thing in high school. I
Oh,
also
cool.
did dramaturgy in college, which is research, another way into the plays, looking at time periods, asking the questions the play is asking, following structure. And so I haven't looked back since. And I've been lucky to find different ways to direct, produce, be a dramaturg, be involved with theater. It's my life. And I found Jewish Plays Project during the pandemic.
Cool.
From the Jewish Plays Project dramaturg and literary director Heather Helinski, who helps run our contest, was looking for artists. She reached out to my alma mater, University of Oklahoma. I said, oh, that's interesting. Jewish plays or looking for Jewish artists, Oklahoma, how does it all go together?
Yeah.
And it was at a time that I think artists were looking, they said, look to your own identity. Like, what do you have to say? And before I knew it, Jewish theater was everything that I'm doing right now. And I'm really proud to be sharing these stories and love that we get to have the platform of the Berkshires Theater Festival and that we're back to share our stories with more people.
You know, that's a fascinating background. Thanks for sharing it with us. I'm glad you said that word, too, because when I was preparing for this, what do you call that study of what?
Dramaturgy?
Dramatobly?
Oh, yeah. There's dramaturgy. There's,
yeah.
Bunch of things.
I saw that as I was reading through, and I went, I'll ask somebody to say that because I have problem. I have a problem with the word duck. So there you go. Katie, a local, you are a legend in your own time here. You really are. And the Polish princess is tutoring. Otherwise, she'd have been here to say hi to you. That's my wife.
Yes, I love your wife. Tell her I
So
say
do
hi.
I.
That's good. That's
Yeah,
usually a good sign.
54 years, it better work.
I'm getting married this fall, so I'm sure you can give me some advice.
Oh, bravo, bravo.
Have
Thank
your
you.
Husband call me and I'll give him the magic answer. Yes,
I
dear.
will.
That's all you have to know. Yes, dear.
You're right, dear.
Happy
Yes.
Wife, happy life, they
Yes.
say. So.
Yeah. So, Katie, tell us, how did you get in? Well, we know you started, I can remember you at the Colonial, so, and then college.
Yeah, so, kind of a local. I mentioned I'm from New York City, and that's where I live now, but I've been coming up to the Berkshires since I was a little kid. I think I saw my first Shakespeare play at Shake and Co. when I was like 8, and it just totally blew my mind. But similar to Alana, theater, I say, is my first love. My grandparents, who I believe you've met, or many of you have met at the festival last year, they took me to my first play when I was 2, and it was Peter Pan. And I don't remember this, but the story goes that I cried at intermission because I thought it was over. I didn't understand that it was like a break and that it would come back. And I feel like I've been trying to not let it end ever since. So I grew up in New York, and I think, like many people, started as a performer. That was kind of like the gateway drug, as it were, to me for theater. And I started directing in college, and was lucky enough to have some really amazing mentors in college who then hired me as an assistant and an associate in my professional career, and have worked off Broadway at Madison Square Garden, a bunch of other things, and now am a director, and have been lucky enough to work in New York and the Berkshires and all over the place in many different capacities. And I got connected to the Jewish Plays Project through Kate McGuire and Berkshire Theater Group, who last year was like, oh, is this something you would be interested in? And it was really perfect in so many ways because I love working on new work. That's kind of my specialty as a director. And I think it was a unique opportunity to, as Alana said or mentioned before, engage with my own identity, engage with my own cultural background through my career, which you don't always have the opportunity to do. And I just feel really grateful to be connected with this amazing network of passionate, intellectually curious, and really innovative theater makers and Jewish thinkers. It's really exciting.
And I will, going back to flashback to last year, Wayne and David, I mean, I was really pleased at the crowds. That I really was pleased at the crowds, the people coming out, and when you had to make you guys feel pretty good.
Yeah, I think that there's a part to festivals that allows us to go a little bit more immersive and a little bit more experimental,
yes,
which is, I think, the place for developmental theater really where it belongs. And, you know, The theater can be, when you look at the beauty of the Colonial Theater, and you sit in the seats and you can picture yourself as part of something bigger. And that's why I do think of it as a holy place, the theater.
Yeah.
However, you could also get a little bit too comfortable. And I think what we've been very intentional in doing, and you'll see this in different ways this year, building on what we did last year, is we want people who are comfortable sitting in their seats to get out of their seats. We want people who are comfortable listening to a play to actually pick up a script and read a play. We want people after a show not to go straight to get a drink or a nosh. We want them to ask questions, which involve, you know, a question mark at the end of a statement.
Yeah, yeah.
With the theater makers themselves, the directors, the actors, the playwrights, who will all be there. And so any of those things may feel comfortable to some people and they may feel less comfortable to other people.
Right.
And we want to encourage people to take at least one step outside of the comfort zone. And that you can do in a festival. And when you know, you're going to hear a little bit about the six new, fresh, oof plays that are being directed by my colleagues here, you know, we don't expect everyone to love every single one of those plays or to even understand every single one of those plays. But we want them to scratch their heads. We want them to become inspired. We want them to have conversations and challenge and think about the world a little differently. Yeah. And so when I think about audience, last year, the quietest member in the audience was our other David here, David Milch, who is not a quiet guy. This is a guy that's got ideas and just energy and innovation. I've seen it in so many different realms. We won't have time to get into all of it today. But David, when you were there in the audience last year, and you're not
it was extraordinary. It was extraordinary, Wayne. And let me take this opportunity to emphasize further what Alana and Katie have already said so articulately. And you have, it's called the Jewish Plays Project. You could call it the Human Plays Project, in my opinion, because whether it's Jewish Plays Project or Catholic or Italian or Ukrainian or plays, theater is about the human experience. And what's wonderful about this particular festival, and those of you who are listening here, please go to Jewish Plays Project. If you Google that, you'll get to the website. Go to the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield. You'll find the festival. And you'll experience not just the plays themselves, but the whole process of what David and his team have put together over the last decade of finding new works, encouraging them, new artists and writers and performers, and bringing it together and getting the experience of what it's like on the stage, behind the stage, before the stage, after. It's really extraordinary. And Wayne, you know, with your participation and the festival in Pittsfield, it's taken it to another level.
And I you know, we come back from the break in a couple of minutes. I think too, I would like to encourage my viewers and listeners to go to this as a play of, Wayne did such a wonderful job, as a festival. Because I'll tell you, last year we brought a couple of kids that my wife works with, and they were totally mesmerized at the kiddos play. Now, we're going to talk about this because I want you to understand, and I want to share this with you folks too. I have a friend who's visually impaired, and he taught me something about going to a play, and he's a jokester. So I had some tickets to a musical, and I gave it to him. And I said, so how'd you think... What did you think about the play? He said, the music was phenomenal. The singing was great and the dancing. And I said, Dan, you couldn't. He said, Bill, I could feel the dancing. And whenever I have actors, whether they've been on for 100 actors for 100 years or just kiddos, I like to share that story. And so what he told me to do, and you made me think of it, Katie, I went, When I was in high school, Shakespeare, you'd rather get a root canal than have to sit through Shakespeare. Really. We'd sit right behind each other, and if the part you read two lines, and then if it turned to a girl and it was the biggest football player, he read the lines. So a lady, but and I'll never forget her, she said to me, "I think you should go and see a Shakespearean play because Shakespeare was never meant to be read. It was meant to be acted." And then my friend, who's has some vision issues, said to me, "Bill, when you go, close your eyes. Close your eyes." And you know what? It made so you now all of a sudden you're hearing the lyrics, you're hearing the words, you're hearing the voice, the tension, whatever. And I do that a lot. And sometimes my wife thinks I'm sleeping, but that I only do that in church. So, but I just think what you guys are
You know,
bringing to
Bill,
the
the
table.
bishop's going to be listening to this potentially. He's
I
going to
don't
write all
know.
these lines down. And
Oh, well. Listen, last time I went to confession, the priest was seen running down the street screaming.
oh.
I met Satan. But anyhow, where I we're what Katie and when you and I want to kind of hold this till after to talk about the plays, but this is a question. When you direct, you know the play better than the actors know it. Is that not correct? Anybody
I
on?
mean, I wouldn't want to presume we know it better than the actors, but I think
Okay.
it's the knowledge is different, right?
Yeah.
It's perhaps a more comprehensive bird's eye view of everything.
Okay.
And I think, sometimes in tech, an actor will come up to me and they'll be like, "Well, what? Why am I doing this? Why do I have to do this? Or why is my costume this very specific color?" And my answer always is, "You're not seeing it from out here. You don't understand the full language and the full
Oh,
working of
that is
the
excellent.
play,"
That is excellent.
which I think is, our job as directors. But I will say, when I started directing, and all my friends will say this, I did, if you watch me, and this is probably still a little true, I mouth every single word. I do memorize the entire play.
Wow. Wow.
Not on purpose.
Good. Well, I think what you just said, though, is so true. The actor's concentrating on their part. The director, they have to concentrate on the whole picture and how it's like a giant jigsaw puzzle that you have to put together. Is that fair?
Yeah. Just to add to that, I have
Yeah,
never.
please.
I haven't memorized, so Katie has me beat on that. But I will say, I had always heard like the director knows more the first day, and some way halfway through the process, the actors know more.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't
cool.
know if I fully believe that, but I do think there is a moment in the process because the actors are walking these roles. It's in their bodies. They do know a little bit more. But I like to bring people into the process who maybe don't know more, but think about it in a different way. Those are my favorite type of designers. They challenge me with questions and they have a different perspective of something. And all of a sudden, I'm having to think on a different level, or I explain things a certain way and they use different terms. So part of the joy, I think, of directing is building a vocabulary together so that you can find the middle ground. And then you add the actors in and they make it all messy again. But that's the joy of a process.
You know, to add to what Katie and
Go
Alana just
ahead.
said, many years ago, I was in London, the West End, with Sir Trevor Nunn. And we
Oh,
talked
wow.
earlier, Alana, that you've worked with Trevor and I've worked and know Trevor, talking about theater. And Trevor said something I'll never forget, that sometimes you need a telescope as a director and sometimes you need a microscope.
Oh,
You
wow.
need to be able to see closely that little detail of a costume, but also how the entire ensemble, and of course, different directors have different approaches, but that maybe is a metaphor for what the arts do in general. They can give you the wide angle and they can give you the close up, and going back and forth kind of creates this experience.
We're going to have to take a break. I'm here with some wonderful people. Please stay tuned because there's more we're going to hear about the actual plays that are going to be produced on let me get the dates, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Is that correct? No. Okay. You guys know. When is it?
The 28th, 29th, and 30th.
I knew that. I was making sure that
You were
you guys were,
close.
yeah. Hey, listen, I love technology, but I missed that big curve. I grew up when the
It's
phone was on hold.
come to the labor, come join us for Labor Day in the Berkshires. That's the
Yes,
best way to
yeah.
say it. Yeah.
And here's the other thing. Go and learn it. Learn it. Learn about what they do, the plays themselves. But I love now to close my eyes and listen, but also observe all that goes on, the scenery. I just very quickly, I watched Freud's last session, Marc Saint-Germain's play, and that kind of captured me on scenery. It was just like being in Freud's office. So, and I probably should have been there. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting at PCTV, channel 1301. Good news, we've expanded. Our broadcast area now reaches down into southern Berkshire. So when Wayne is staying down there in Lenox, he'll be able to hear us. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right. Hey, we're back. A phenomenal show. I'm so enjoying it. I'm here with some very talented people, and they're here with someone with absolutely no talent. But they're carrying me, which is very nice. But David, we're going to let the ladies go first and talk about the plays. And I, if you can, elaborate a little. Don't give the whole story away, but elaborate a little bit to get the people there. All right, I'm going to start with Alana.
Had a feeling.
Oh.
Okay, so. We have Katie and I. This is our second year in a row. We love directing Oof. The way Oof starts is with a theme and a prompt. So Wayne and Heather Helinski, a name I mentioned before, and a whole team come up with some different prompts. This year, the prompt that was chosen was moving forward on the edge of the unknown, which, as we say at the JPP, feels like a very moment right now. A lot of us are experiencing that in different ways. And then we got, oh my goodness, it was like 270 plays submissions. And we
That's great though.
Right. And
That's
then we
great.
Had about 20 artists who we love in conversation and debate and advocate for your plays. And six plays were chosen. It could be any six, but you know, there's so many plays that speak to this moment, but the six that are chosen, we're very excited about. Katie will direct three. I will direct three. And just like a little preview, and then I'll hand it off to my co-director to share more. But first of all, we like to think of a metaphor of the night. Last year, if you came, there was fabric that we weaved. Tonight, and that year's theme was about healing. And so this year it's about light and void of light and what lurks in the shadows and using this precipice of the unknown and who are the unknown heroes who stood up against authoritarianism or, you know, any metaphor for today. It's really, you know, one thing just in general about a festival, Wayne has mentioned this, but it's plays that are in conversation with each other. Oh, so if you come to the whole festival, you'll start to see different themes that pop up, and maybe you see repeat artists, but we're collectively there all together. I mean, I don't know, I don't talk to anyone, artist, Jewish artist, anyone who's not having a hard time right now. How do you handle it? And if your head is not in the sand, you have to engage with what's going on. And unlike a phone where you can just put it down and disengage, you're there to experience it. We have Naomi Less, who's leading us in some music for the night.
Yeah.
Abshul, we're very excited about this. And it's something that she came up with that we're really leaning into is sitting in the discomfort. And that's okay. That creates empathy. Yeah. Wow. You hear the different perspectives.
Yeah.
Maybe they take your approach, Bill. Maybe they close their eyes, or maybe they just sit in the world and experience it. And you hear of people like Claude and Marcel, who I didn't know about, who they're two based on real people, and they were charged with spiritual warfare right before the Holocaust because they didn't identify with a certain gender.
Yeah.
And they went up against the extreme powers of the time. You know, you hear today people, even just same-sex marriage being challenged in courts right now. I think the plays that we've chosen challenge what's happening in our government and in our society, and the plays are speaking back, and it gives a chance for artists to speak back and for all of us to think about, like, what is the next action? What can we do next? And then there's plays that talk about protests on campus, and that's another very hot button issue right now.
Oh.
And yeah, so they're provocative. They're supposed to push a little. You're going to sit in discomfort. You're not going to agree with everything, but you may be challenged. And I think that's a good thing.
You know, not to interrupt or break, but I think what you just said is so insightful.
Mm-hmm.
And David Melch and I were talking before you guys come on about just how difficult the world is today. And how fractured and divided. And, you know, I had to have a chat with a friend of mine, a peer of mine, about not going to his son's Thanksgiving party because Trump won the election. His father's my age. His father is a veteran of Vietnam. And I said to him, you know, no one's promised tomorrow. So don't do something today you'll be regretting 6 months from now or a year from now.
And just to add, the other side of this is hope. You know, we're trying to find hope. We're trying to find community. And just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean we can't find a middle ground. And that's why I love working with Katie on this, because I feel like at our heart, we're always trying to find the empathy in these plays.
Well, you're two wonderful people. You're all wonderful people. But Katie, tell us about your plays. I mean, I'm sitting here, this is awful, thinking of last year and how I left there a different person. And I told David that when we first came on. I left there a different person.
Well, I think that's always, I mean, something I debate as an artist, and many of my friends who are artists have this debate with me, is like, can theater actually change lives? How important is what we are doing? And I think we're in an age where many of us feel powerless. I know that I often feel powerless, or can feel nihilistic. What's the point of doing anything? Nothing's going to change. And I'm not an artist who at all thinks we're curing cancer or saving lives. However, I do think that theater has the capacity to change lives and change lives for the better. And I know that sounds trite, but changed mine, and I'm sure it changed many people's lives.
It's not trite, Katie. It's truth.
Yeah,
it's truth. Truth.
Who are listening and who are in this group right now. And so that's really the highest praise that any director can get in my book, that you left change, that you left thinking about the plays. And I think we're in a moment where real empathy and real dialogue and real thought and real exchange and real listening, as you mentioned earlier, Bill,
Yeah.
is needed. And so often, when we're interacting in the day, it's on our little screens, and that's never conducive to, in my opinion, to real exchange, real nuance, real dialogue. And I think theater and these plays that the team at the JPP has gathered has the real potential to do that. And that's really my hope, that people leave the night feeling like they're going to have a conversation, feeling like maybe they could go to their son's Thanksgiving, even if they disagree, and
Yeah.
engage in a dialogue.
Yeah.
I think that's really missing from the conversation right now, and I hope that's something audiences gather from our evening.
Well,
Bill, if I could add to
yes,
what
please,
Katie
David.
just said and
Please.
Alana just said, it's interesting. Yesterday, I was on a Zoom interview talking about very much this subject of what does art do for us and why do we need this? And is it just kind of a luxury? And to condense a long discussion, I pointed out that at our home in New York City, we have two posters, frame posters, historical posters. One poster shows the arrived Russian soldiers and face the onslaught of what's coming from our neighbor from Germany, and don't be a victim. And the other poster shows a sort of like an army boot crushing an average person, saying, again, beware of what's coming. And then when you look at these posters, which I bought at an auction, and at the auction, the auctioneer said, what years do you think these come from? Because it was referencing the Nazis, it was referencing Soviet Union, World War II. And people said 1940, 1942, 1939. And he said, no, 1929. In 1931, these posters were in sub they were in Russian in subway systems. The artists, the intellectuals, sometimes they don't really intellectually know what they're feeling, say, but they put it into their art. They express it in their music, in their painting, in their theater, etc. And often we don't listen. I'm not here to say that the artists have the magic, vision and the crystal ball, but in so many ways, what we see going on, not going to a birthday or something, and you said people are confused. I would only add that I believe at the core of it, for so many people, whether you're dealing with Israel, Gaza, whether you're Ukraine, Russia, stuff going on elsewhere, people are overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed with so much input. And what the arts do is give us a moment to settle down and connect emotionally in that moment to something we're experiencing, dance, theater, music, etc. And it's mission critical to us as human beings.
And you can look to the past even, right, for answers. But I think what's something that Jewish Plays Project strives to do is look to the future and think of what is the most important Jewish conversation right now. I wonder, Kate, if you want to talk about Mariana at all, because it's such an interesting play for today.
Sure. I don't know how much to give away, but our last play of the evening, which is, the last thing the audience will be thinking about as they're leaving for the night, is this play called Mariana that deals with some of the most pertinent political issues facing this country right now, having to do with immigration. And it's kind of posed as, to some extent, like a modern day Anne Frank, the question being, would you hide someone? And dealing with the current administration's immigration policies, which I think are abhorrent, and questions about, Jewish ethics. What is it, what within a Jewish context is our responsibility to take care of others and to take care of outsiders and to take care of immigrants, having been ones ourselves? So I agree with Alana that the evening has references to the past and history that we can look to, but also issues that are very current, very now. Campus protests, as Alana mentioned, this issue of immigration, all kinds of things. And one last thing I'll add too is I also believe that comedy and laughter has the ability to change and change lives and also deal with very high concept, very difficult, very nuanced conversations. It doesn't always have to be the saddest play ever that makes you think. And I want to say, yes, we have some sad plays that are dealing with complicated issues, but we also have some amazing moments of comedy and
That's
humor
right.
because I think per the theme, what's one of the ways that we deal with the unknown, especially as a Jewish person? Humor. And when do we laugh? When do we cry? As Wayne said at the beginning of the interview. So I just wanted to say that there's
And sitting
comedy too.
in Livingston Manor in the Catskills, the old Borscht Belt, which is the humor. And to what you just said,
That's
Katie,
right.
and Alana, if I may, Bill,
Sure.
David Winitsky mentioned earlier that a project that our family's been working on for five years now, which is going to be introduced via the Jewish Plays
Oh,
Project
cool.
and the festival next year. From what you've been saying, Katie and Alana and Bill, the name of the piece, it's a musical, believe it or not, about Holocaust and genocide and hate and intolerance, a musical, go figure, called Lives and Dreams. Brand new, and we have the opening and closing song for the piece, which we're going to make available to you and be able to potentially be part of this broadcast. And it's based on an exhibition that we started, Lives Eliminated, Dreams Illuminated. You can go to the website. The exhibition became an educational program, and then wanting to connect to people even more immediately is now a production which is opening in January. And the
Wow.
power of seeing characters on stage, historically accurate characters, trying to come together and understand not just what happened to the Jews in the Holocaust, but where does oppression come from? Where does hate and intolerance come from? But not all heaviness. Oh my God, I want to go back to bed and put the covers over my head. How do we teach the children? How do we educate ourselves? And the word you used, Alana, hope. To have hope and a sense of the possibilities of the future. And theater provides this platform.
And you know, please keep me in the loop for that and let me know where and when it's going to, debut. Because if it's in New York, we have a lot of people here who arrange bus trips. I just know a group that just left the other day for a play in New York and come
Oh,
back.
it's definitely coming to New York. Our headquarters, our studio production
Yep.
headquarters, is in Jersey City. And we're working with the Museum of Jewish Heritage and other people, but it's step by step with all things. It's starting off
Whatever.
in Jacksonville, Florida, a purple city in a red state, which is its interesting story in its own right.
The all I would say to all of you is thank you. Thank you for your talent and your commitment to making this a better world. You know, we have a lot of people who want to make it a better world their way. And I'm not always buying in to their way. I've had the opportunity to travel the world and live in various cultures. And I just think the more we can open ourselves to other, just other people, not other religions, not other beliefs, not other people. To me, having you folks on has made me more enlightened, and I hope a better person, because boy, I need work. If you don't believe me, I'll have the princess tell you. I think she's on volume 142 of my flaws. But when and again, I don't want to screw this up. I'm going back to my calendar because I got some bad skinny from somebody, and I want to be sure. This starts Thursday the 28th, Friday the 29th, and Saturday the 30th. Labor Day weekend, spend it with a Jewish play project. And these wonderful people.
At the Colonial Theater in
And
Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
do me a favor, please. One of the things, and maybe it's my age, and I drive my wife crazy, but if something comes up, I have to do it. Like this morning, I've ran out and had to do something that I probably could have done after this, but I said, no, I got to do this now. So I ran out and don't procrastinate. I've told you this in before. Nobody's promised tomorrow. And that to me, you know, I'm a Vietnam veteran and I woke up with people and they have not been with me when I went to bed. So all I'm saying is make this day a good day. Buy your tickets. Have them in your hand. I don't want you guys to take this as a threat. There's a strong possibility myself and the Polish princess will be there. You know,
we depend on it, Bill. We're looking forward to it.
Well, all I can say, you know, we got a couple minutes left. To me, it's so important what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. And I agree with these ladies and all of you. Ilana, quick story. This is a long time ago. I interviewed a young girl, and Katie, you can relate to this. She went to Taconic High School. She, by her own admission, I'm a wallflower. I'm very shy. So her friends got her to work for Shakespeare and Company backstage. Not on stage, she said, the first year. Not on stage, backstage doing something. And then the following, about 2 years later in her junior, senior year, they got her to go on stage. And that changed her life. That changed her life from a wallflower. And she said on my program, if I hadn't done that, I would not have had the courage to come on this program. And courage and confidence. So when you go to a play, I've learned more from plays about myself and about what I can do to be a better person. And that's all we're striving for. And you guys have put your heart and soul into it. You know, I just...
Well, Bill, we thank you and WTBR for what you're doing, giving us this platform. Wayne Firestone and David Winitsky for what you've accomplished with the Jewish Plays Project and what's coming up on the 28th and 29th and 30th. And just all of us, everybody, everyone listening, everyone participating, we're all in this together at the end of the day.
That's such a true statement. We are, and I close, most people who watch this show and listen to this show, and I know I have some people who take offense, but I use God bless. I'm not closing right now, but God bless. And you just brought it out, David. We're here to help each other. If I can help somebody lift somebody's day, that makes me feel like $1 million. Because a long time ago, I had two nights. I didn't think I'd be here much longer. That said, I'm here for a reason, and I hope it's to make somebody else's day better. And if it's to have people laugh at me, look at me. Come on. I have a shirt. I was going to wear it, but this is a serious show. But and it said, why have clothes when you're bald, when you have a head, bald head, something like that. But again, I just thank you all. Katie, Ilana, David, thank you for your courage.
Wayne.
For your commitment. Because, you know, we're living in troubled times.
Mm.
And let's all of us try to be the beacons of non-troubled times and
link arms and support one another.
Let me tell you, I would say that, David Mitch, when we sign off, can you just stay on for 1 minute?
Sure. Oh, I'd be happy to, Bill. Yeah.
To Wayne, Jewish, all I got, you got to get a shorter name, Jewish Playwright Project.
JPP. David. JPP.
JPP.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Good one. JPP. There you go.
Very easy.
Yeah. Don't get a tattoo.
There you go. But, Bill, the other thing I want to make sure everybody in your audience knows is BerkshireTheaterGroup.org. Go up to their website. That's where you can buy tickets to the whole festival and to the individual shows. We got to get the pitch in. We got to sell the product, right? Like, you know,
well,
that's part
yeah,
of the job.
I hope we've been doing that. And again, it's I would like to, and I hope I don't offend any of you, but I would like to close with something that I think is appropriate at this time. And Martin Nomar, his poem, because I think right now a lot of people need to hear this, and maybe if you any of you want to sign off and don't want to be involved, that's fine. First they came for the communist, and I didn't speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unions, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. Thank you all. As I say to my audience, signing off every time, God bless. And today, please lift someone's burdens. Make them laugh. We're all in this together. Let's help each other.
Exactly.
Thank you all. God bless all of you. And like I said, don't take this as a threat. I'll be there.
We'll see you there.
We can't wait. We're yeah, looking yeah. forward to it.
Thank
so
you,
wonderful.
Bye bye, guys. Katie,
bye,
well,
everyone.
So good seeing you.
Great to see
Take
you.
Katie,
JP,
I want to see you
we'll
soon.
See you later. Don't
David
get the tattoo
well.
Till we decide on it.
That's right.
Bye, everyone. Thank
bye
you.
Bye.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye.